To Enzo's surprise, when they stepped out into the street, the rain had stopped. It had seemed as if it were set to last for days, but unexpectedly the sky had cleared and stars crusted its inky firmament like frost on black ice. Jane had loaned him one of Killian's scarves, and he tightened it around his neck as they walked down the hill toward the harbour, breath billowing around their heads. The soft feel of it brought him in contact once again with the man whose death he had come to resolve. There was a smell from the scarf that he had noticed when she first gave it to him, a slightly stale, slightly perfumed smell. But masculine. Something that spoke of body sweat and aftershave. A long, lingering reminder of a man whose life had been so brutally taken all those years before. A presence that he had left on this earth long after his passing, and in an odd way it connected him to Enzo. Made it personal, somehow, as if the old man had bequeathed a message to him, too.
As they passed the Eco Museum on their right,
the harbour opened up below them, bathed in a wash of moonlight that shone on every wet surface as if all had been newly painted, and the paint had not yet dried. Rows of sailing boats tethered along the quay clunked and bumped and rocked on the gentle swell of the inner harbour, the air filled with the sound of metal cables clattering against steel masts.
Lights from the hotels and cafes that lined the harbour row reflected on the black waters of the bay,
broken by its ruffled surface into myriad splinters that flashed and vanished, moments in eternity only fractionally less brief than the lives of men. But although the rain had gone, the air was cold. A sharp, biting cold, laden with a portent of overnight frost and icy roads. Enzo was surprised to feel Jane slide her arm through his, and wondered at how natural it felt. Two people sharing warmth on a cold night. Tragic lives that had led them to this place and time, and a mystery that had already begun to wrap its icy fingers around him after haunting her for half a lifetime. He felt a sense of destiny in this, that he had not experienced in previous cases, and he wondered if, perhaps, it was his destiny this time to fail.
"You must have been over 30, then, when you met your French lady," Jane said suddenly out of the blue.
"Yes, just past my 30th birthday. We met at an international convention on forensic science at Nice."
"And you'd been single up until then?"
"No. I was married when I met Pascal."
"Oh, so you left your wife for her?"
"Yes."
Enzo half turned to catch her expression out of the corner of his eye, wondering if she disapproved. But if she did, there was nothing in her face, or her voice, to betray it.
"A good thing there were no children, then."
Enzo hesitated almost imperceptibly.
"I had a 7-year-old daughter, Kirsty."
Without taking his eyes from the street ahead, he was aware of her head turning to look at him.